Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reimbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim Show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reimbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on. And you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Praise be to God. Baruch Hashem. This is another day that the Lord God has created, and we will rejoice in it. Well, we are studying the Acts of the Apostles, and I hope at this point that you're getting the idea that there was a great amount of, bless God, power of God's anointing working in these men during this time we call the book of Acts. and obviously the other places too, but because of the fact that the Messiah, the Mashiach, had left this earth, and bless God, he sent back to the earth the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, meaning Holy Ghost, to bring the power. And, you know, when you read this in the book of Acts, it's very exciting to know that these men, after all, you know when I read that they believed not in the resurrection, meaning the apostles, I was beside myself. How dare them, you know, believe that and or not believe in the resurrection. Come to find out, as the angel explained to me, if I'd have been there, I'd have done the same thing. But these men collected themselves, along with the Apostle Paul, and bless God, they did great and mighty exploits right here on the face of this earth. But there was reasons behind it. As we begin to study, you know, you have to give a full service to the Lord. You can't be a part-time whatever. And that seems to be the biggest problem that I think that we have had throughout the church age has been the fact that, bless God, the only time a lot of people ever got their Bibles off the shelf is when they went to church, if they even did then. And bless God, so we got away from studying. We got away from the things in which God had intended for us, the people of this day and this hour. But it's never too late with God. And the stirring that God's doing right now in the spirit realm is an awesome, awesome thing, because he's speaking to the hearts of the people. He's gathering. Folks, we are at the very door of some of the greatest, bless God, going-ons on this earth that this earth has ever seen. We're at the very point. I'm hoping that God lets me do the thing about the time of Jacob's trouble. This earth is going to go through some terrible, terrible things. We have to prepare the people. We have to get the people ready to understand that God is in control. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what human nature is, no matter what, God is in control, and he has spoken things of promise unto his children, even in this last day and this hour. And you know something? We're going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. Just understand, it's those that keep the covenant of the Holy Father, and bless God, those that keep the testimony of his Holy Son, Yeshua. Well, I'm going to start in John 4:34, because there's something here that Yeshua says here that's tremendous. It says there in the 34th verse of John 4, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And do you want to know something? That is exactly the charge that's given to all of us. That we must do the will of the Father. We must do his will. As I said, you were commissioned by God before you were placed into your mother's wombs. You were destined by God to fulfill certain things on the face of this earth as you were given that short period of 70 years to fulfill. And bless God, we must understand that we must finish the work. We must finish the work that the Father has given unto us. And of course, Yeshua, his Holy Son, came, and he finished the work that was given to him. And now it's our turn. It's time for us to do exactly what we're being told to do, that the Scriptures tells us that, bless God, in the last days, we are going to gather back together the 10 lost tribes of Israel, the house of Ephraim, the house of Joseph, the house of Israel. And we're going to bring them together, we're going to teach them, and we're going to prepare them so that we can go home back to the land that was given unto our forefathers. And what a day that's going to be. Well, as we study this all-powerful scriptures here in the book of Acts, and again, the thing that I kept saying to the church, where is this power? What's happened to it? Is there something that these men were doing that was set aside until the last days of the Lord God and this earth? Or was it something that was ongoing that somehow, in all of whatever that was within the church, that we lost? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's something that we lost. It's something we lost because we didn't understand. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord God said, and I'm always quoting this, the lack of knowledge is what's destroying us. It's the lack of knowledge. The knowledge is in the book. It's always been in the book. It always will be in the book. The key is, bless God, to become knowledgeable about the things of God. Become knowledgeable outside of that small, if you will, small world of the church that taught their doctrines and their religions and the things that they taught. There's a whole book full of knowledge here. And the key is to study and to understand. Now, I want to go to the ninth chapter of Acts. And, of course, this is the conversion of Paul, known then as Saul. And it's very, very interesting how that this took place. Now, as we read through this, I want to make a comment, or at least before we start here, of trying to get you to understand that these conversions and these things that happened with these men of God all throughout the scriptures were big time visitations. Okay, that's another sure sign that so much of this stuff that's going on here in North America, especially, of God saying this and God saying that, and the visions and the dreams and that kind of stuff, again, is just a bunch of soothsayers. Because there has to be, as this is all confirmed throughout the whole literature of the scriptures, is the fact that these men had special types of visitations. Now, the word is callings, all right, upon their lives and upon that time and that hour that was chosen and chosen of God himself, then he brings forth. And he's going to bring forth in your life, my life. That's not changed. Because, again, the thing that I keep saying over and over is that you must understand the consistency of God's holy word. God is consistent throughout the ages, throughout the generations, and that consistency hasn't changed any. This whole thing of being self-appointed and deciding that, you know, that, well, I've got this dream, there's going to be a earthquake tomorrow morning at 4:45 at such a place and such a time, is just a bunch of baloney. And the sooner you can get over that, the better off you are. And for those of you listening that have, bless God, that have encountered the familiar spirits coming and lying to you like that, you must repent, and repent quickly in the name of the Lord our God. Acts 9, first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Well, he was about somebody's business, but it wasn't God's, was it? No. He was out here full-time being a Pharisee, full-time trying to quench, if you will, this radical move that had come into the land of Israel by this man, Yeshua, okay? And so he's, you know, he's going to drag him, he's going to bind him up, bring him to Jerusalem, throw him in jail. And that was his thing. Now, what I love is in this third verse, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. Boy, that would be quite a thing, wouldn't it? And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he said unto him, Arise and go to the city, into the city, and it shall be told there what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Well, I'll tell you what, that had to be quite a visitation. Especially those men that were standing around, they heard a voice, but they didn't see from whence it came, okay? I know I've had situations in the third world. I remember one in particular in Africa, and we're going down the road, and all of a sudden I scream, stop the car, and they stopped the vehicle, and actually it was a van, and I got out and walked out about 100 yards or better out into a field because I saw the angel standing in the field. And I walked out, and we had a conversation, and I came back. Now, in this particular case, they didn't hear another voice except mine, but also far away, they couldn't hear, make out at all what it was that I was talking about, but the fact of it was they knew that something had happened, the people in that van, and when I got back in, the only thing they had to say with me that my countenance changed. And of course, that is exactly what takes place in those kind of visitations. But again, there they were. They heard this, and now Saul, being named Paul here shortly, bless God, he's being told that when he gets in the city, he's going to be told what to do. Now, in the 8th verse, it said, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Well, you know, I'm always saying, you know, there aren't very many surprises that takes place when you're serving God. If you're praying, you're fasting, you're trying to stay as close to Him as you can stay, I'm going to tell you what, the Lord God will prepare you. He will prepare you. He prepared me for lots of things. You know, I've told the story and numbers of times, the fact that very seldom I know before somebody even calls on the phone to talk to me. I know. I'm not going to say complete strangers because that's not true, but I'm just talking about somebody. So, you know, the Lord God will speak to me and say, now, you're going to hear from such and such today. Well, I know that I'm going to hear from them. And people think, well, that's strange. Well, you know, get over it. Prophets are strange people. I'm sorry. I know how strange I am because I've been a gazing stock ever since I was a young child. But the fact of it is, that's the way this thing works between me and God. And now I'm not going to tell you that can work like that with everyone because I don't believe that. Number one, I believe that God deals with us in accordance to the anointing that He gave to us from the foundations of the world. I hope that makes sense to you because that is the way this thing works. You see, you can't. So many people get so jealous, and no one knows the price that I paid to do what I do for the Lord except me, and I know. And I know that it's been a whale of a price, and I know that I would pay it again. But I also know this: it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been any great, great, glorious, oh, look at me, I'm a prophet thing. No, I'm sorry. I have said over and over again that to me it's been a curse to be a prophet, especially a last day prophet like this, because our prophets are not understood anyway. And bless God, when you start bringing forth revelation knowledge that as I'm always saying, hair lips the church, I got news for you. There's going to be all kind of spiritual stones thrown. Praise God. At this point, they're just spiritual, okay? They're not carnal stones. 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. So Ananias, you know, Ananias knew about this Saul character. And he knew all that he had done. And bless God, and he goes on to say, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now there's where the difference is at. Now, can you start off on the wrong track with God? Absolutely. And boy, Paul did. I've always said it's hard telling how many countless nights that Paul lay awake and gazed out into the stars and into the darkness, bless God, wondering what would have ever brought him to the place that he would have done to the children of God, what he had participated in before the time of this visitation. But you see, when he said he's a chosen vessel unto me. Now let me tell you something. Again, there are vessels of the Lord God and there are chosen vessels of the Lord God. There are both of these things. And you, again, you can no more make yourself a chosen vessel than I can. These things are done from the foundations of the world. These things are done by God, knowing that, bless God, that somebody, someplace, sometime that is anointed of him is going to do that which he sent them to this earth to do. Now, what was Paul's point for being here? He was to take, to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, okay? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And boy, did he ever suffer. You know, you get to reading about all that Paul went through, you go, whoa, man, I'm very fortunate in comparison. And I am, because what he went through. Now, 17 says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even yet Jesus, that appeared unto thee on the way that thou camest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, boy, there's quite a deal, isn't it? You suppose Paul knew anything about the Holy Ghost? No, don't believe he did. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight thereforth and arose and was baptized. Now, even though that, bless God, this great commission had come to Paul, you see, that still doesn't mean that he's going to fulfill that. You know, I've said to a lot of people that I'm very confident in the fact that have had and have today prophetic callings in their life. But brothers and sisters, it's one thing to be called of God, and it's another thing to bless God to do what? To be able to fulfill the calling. And I don't, again, the church never taught us anything about it because the church didn't know anything about it. I'm always saying, you think you need to want to be a prophet, you better get under somebody like me so that you can get this thing right. Because if you don't, I will guarantee you, without a shadow of turning into the prophet that I am of the Lord God, you're going to screw this thing up. And you're going to mess it up badly because the familiar spirits are going to see to it. And you know, still we still get, even though they've slowed down, I'm assuming because I made the announcement, that I try to make every once in a while about quit sending me your dreams and your visions and God saying this and God saying that, because I honestly could care less. And because what I'm interested in is getting you to do what? To become mature in His holy word. Those other things, if they're there, they'll surface. But, you know, to get people to slow down, once people are introduced to familiar spirits, because again, they bring you scripture. They seem to be that of angels of light, and people just get caught up into that every day because they don't know the difference. And then all of a sudden, then you have the next problem, don't you? And I love the way these things all come down because the fact that you've got to stay with what you got to do, but you also have to understand the training process. You have to be trained. There isn't anything in this world that you can go out here and do without being trained. You have to be trained. And why would this be any differently? But I'm always talking. You know, one time this brother said to me, he said, oh, yeah, he said, I've been trained. I said, oh, really? I said, well, what prophet did you set under? Well, he said, I didn't set under a prophet. I was trained by a pastor. Well, as I told him, and somebody listening here today needs to hear the same thing, that don't count, okay? A pastor cannot do, nor will ever be able to do, what a prophet does. Why? Because a prophet has a distinctly different calling and a distinctly different anointing. And so does the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists, all right? But that all of them together come together. And you know, that's the thing that I love watching with this organization, the way it's growing now, and the fact that we've got, you know, we're getting those offices, or you know, they're round about. I haven't spent time explaining to any one individual in particular. There has been a few, but the fellows that are around that make up the 10, bless God, I told them the callings that are in their life. But the fact of it is, it will all come together because it takes all of that. You can't have an organization run by just a prophet. I mean, I'm the eyes and the ears of the Lord. I have direct communication to the throne room. That's what I do. The apostles, they build churches. They understand the governments. The pastors, they're like the mother. They're a mother should be to every child. They're going to comfort you. They're going to watch over you. They're going to guard you, and they're going to keep you. And their heart, bless God, is as big as a room that you sit in today. Okay, the evangelists, well, bless their hearts, they are going to stir you. A good evangelist will make you. I don't care how long you've been saved. Bless God, by the time they get done preaching, you're going to search your heart out to be real certain that everything's okay between you and the Lord. But you see, these are separate, and yet so much needed. And of course, the teacher is going to come along and teach into what should be the revelation knowledge of the prophets. You listen to Donna each and every week, and Donna's teaching into my materials. Because number one, she's been around them for years, and number two, as a teacher, she is able to take the material and take nothing away from it and really not add anything to it. What she's doing is she's showing you this material in just a little bit different way, turn it just enough where you can see it and understand it better. And that's what teachers are about. You know, this thing, I know the charismatic movement, they were all talking about, oh, the revelation knowledge. Well, I got news for you. You better study the book. Bless God, they are teachers. They will teach you the revelation knowledge coming out of the mouths and the bellies of the prophets. And so should the apostles and the pastors and the evangelists. They should do the same thing. But often people get sidetracked. Often people don't. Again, the restoring of these offices has been a real mess, continues to be. I'm all the time getting emails, and apostle such and such, you know, and prophet such and such. And every once in a while I get one from pastor such and such, okay? Well, I want you to know one thing. There must be apostles and prophets, pastors, evangelists and teachers. That's what makes up the teaching core of God's men and women. Okay, that brings them up, and I do believe in women being able to be in the ministry. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with women pastors because of the authority. They get caught up into that, and most of the time the husband is somebody that's got a ring in their nose, and they just pull it. And that doesn't work that way. But as far as women evangelists and women, bless God, prophets, women teachers, have no problem at all in those areas, none whatsoever. Let's go to 1 Samuel 3, the 11th verse. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God doeth so to thee, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. So, you have to stay with God. I'm sure Samuel was young here. And I am very, very certain that he would have rather, bless God, as we say, take a beating with a big stick, than, bless God, than to have had to have told Eli what he told him. But you see, through all matter of trial, you got to know that God's the truth. And you have to prophesy what God gives you to prophesy. I know in my case, there's been many, many, many things that I've had to say, thus saith the mouth of God, about that I would just as easily would have walked away. But as I mentioned to you last time we were together, one of the things that I attribute to God bringing me forth into where I'm at today is because I learned to be quick about the things that God told me to do as doing them. I learned to be quick about it. It wasn't easy. I remember going all the way back in the first maybe 1 or 2 years that I was in the ministry, and I can remember the Lord God would wake me in the middle of the night, and He'd say, "I want you tomorrow to go to such and such's home. This person's dying of a disease, and I want you to go there and lay hands on them and tell them to rise in the name of the Lord God." And you know, that's not, I mean, I'm talking about people that I hardly knew, people that I may have spoken to once in my whole life, and to have to go knock on the door and say, you know, the Lord God sent me. The Lord God sent me here. And you know, I'll tell you, I got some weird looks. People say, "Well, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, the Lord sent me here. He sent me here to pray for your loved one that he might raise them up off their deathbed." Well, you know, at that point, when people are on their deathbed, I've always said they wouldn't care if the devil healed them if they could get healed, all right? And so once I said that, the whole conversation would always change quickly. Well, you know, to come in. And in every one of those occasions that the Lord God sent me, bless God, God raised those people up off those deathbeds. Now, let me tell you something about that. Number one, God told me to go, all right? And that's the important thing right there. Now, I could have put that off and bless God, not have gone when the Lord said, "Tomorrow you go," and, well, get up tomorrow and stew and worry about it and pace the floor and not get around to going the next day. I'm going to tell you something. That person could have died. Folks, you don't want that. You don't want that upon you. You got to be quick to do what God tells you to do. You must be quick to do that. And I learned that lesson years ago before I ever got into the ministry. A friend of mine and I had a business, and we built room additions and repaired homes and that kind of thing through carpentry work. And we were working at a home, and this man was sick. And never forget, it was on a Friday, and the lady came around. She said, "Well," she said he was awful sick. She said she didn't know, you know, whether he was going to die or not, but he wasn't very, very well. And she looked him in. She said, "He's not saved, you know." And I looked at her, and I thought, well, you know, we'll be back Monday, and so I'll just wait till Monday, and I'll deal with that Monday. Well, guess what? He died over the weekend. And I'm going to tell you something. It took a long time for me to get over that. And the angel came and said to me, he said, "Be quick. Be quick." The Lord didn't need to speak to me. Bless God, there was a need. And where there's a need, you must go fulfill that need. You know, there again, I'm you know, we get all these people, God tell them to do all this stuff. And I think I did say last week that, you know, when you think you're hearing God tell you to do something you don't want to do, that's God every time. You get to hearing these things about doing this stuff that, oh, makes you look good and makes you look like a man or a woman of God. You want to be real careful. You want to be extremely careful about those things. Because you see, God knows. He knows exactly. But here again, you want to stay the course. You want to do what it is that God's telling you to do, even to your own hurt. And I know that it's not easy. I know that, but again, folks, it takes maturity. All right, God's not gonna deal with novice, and as we spoke about in Scripture last week, God doesn't use novice. He uses what? He uses people that have matured in His Word, and that again is the place that that just makes me just wag my head, because I see all these people believing that God's using them as big time prophets, and they don't have enough word to spit on us, I'm always saying. The fact of the matter is, folks, it takes maturity. But you know, again, that maturity has to be seasoned under a real prophet, if that's what you're after. Now, we can raise you up in those other those other offices, and we will. But the fact of the matter is, you have to understand, okay? You have to understand. I don't know where it all got off track, but it did. And I'm not saying there hasn't been some great men of God walk this earth over the last few centuries, because obviously there has been. But the fact of the matter is, folks, you stick to the course. You know, I've been around so many people that, well, you know, I had a call in my life to be a minister, and I started ministering, and bless God, this happened and that happened, and I finally just quit. Well, let me tell you something. I guess that's your choice to quit, but God's not going to put your hand to that sacred gospel plow and bless God have you take your hand off of it. See, I'm going to tell you something. You didn't call yourself, and you can't resign yourself, okay? People get to thinking they can, though, but no, I'm sorry. You're there. It's the only game in town, and you might as well just, you know, take the lumps and the bumps. But you see, those lumps and bumps, they're going to come. Believe you me, they're going to come. I don't care how much seasoning that you have in you. Why? Because God is constantly looking to see what's in your heart. Isn't that what he says? That's right. That's what we teach. Well, let's go to Job, the first chapter of Job in the 13th verse. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, and he said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, slaying the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, while he was yet speaking, there came also another man. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I am escaped only to tell thee. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You want to talk about having all this hell come down on top of you at one time. To have one of those things would be, one of those things you just shake your head about and spend most of your life, I guess, trying to understand. But you see, this came. Now, look in the 20th verse. Job says, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. Now, the reason he shaved his head is that was the custom when somebody in the family dies, and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I'm going to tell you something. There's a great amount of maturity in that man Job to be able to have done that. How many of us today could have said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Said he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Why weren't you watching over my children? Why aren't you watching over the camels and all the other stuff? So many people today do that. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say through my lifetime of my walk in ministry of saying, well, if there was a real God in heaven, they wouldn't have let my brother die or my wife die or my child die. The Lord wouldn't have. Well, there again, that's not up to you and I. But Job stayed the course. He went through all of it. In fact, when you read that, you get to the last part of the writings about Job, you found out that it was multiplied back to him many times, that which he had lost. Why? Because his own wife said, once you curse God and just die. That's that his own wife told him that. And yet, it said, and yet Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, my brothers and sisters, he either is God or isn't God. And all things come through the hands of the Father. And there isn't any way, shape, or form that, bless God, that you and I, you know, people get to thinking, well, if I get into this thing, all my troubles are going to be over. No, that's not right. then not all your troubles are going to be over. You're going to be tested by the things that you understand, or the things that you think that you know, or the things that you do know in your heart about God's holy word. But I'm here to tell you, as long as we're on this earth, we are going to go through trials and tribulations. That's what it's all about. However, God will give us a way to thereby to escape if we do what? If we stand strong. If we don't get foolish and start charging God foolishly, as Job said that he didn't do, or it was said about Job. So you see, in all manner of all this, you want to grasp a hold, brothers and sisters, and hang on to the hem of his garment. Because he, again, he's the beginning and he's the end, and he knows everything from the beginning, in the middle of all of it, and to the end. He knows it all. And if he isn't a mighty enough God to take care of us, then I'm always saying you better find another God to serve, hadn't you? But he is. And it may not all the time turn out the way we did. Well, look here in Mark 14, 36, what the Lord had to say about this. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. You know, this is the time when he was showing what he was going to have to go through there at the end. Did he want to go through that? Absolutely not. There isn't a piece of flesh that there's ever been or will ever be on the face of this earth that would want to have to go through that. And he even asked the Father. He said, all things are possible. And he said, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Boy, what a statement. Can you make that statement today, to have that kind of total consecration to God, of understanding that, bless God, no matter what, we're going to serve him. Whether we're well, whether we're sick, whether we're broke, whether we're rich, we're going to serve him because he is God. And for whatever he's doing, whatever we're permitted by God to go through, let me tell you something. You'll be stronger on the other side of this thing. But see, most people don't understand that. What most people do in these times of testings and trials, they throw up their hands and say, you know, oh me and oh my. But no. I'm going to tell you what. Somewhere along the line, you just have to realize that whatever that is, yeah, maybe you did something. Maybe you as Eli, maybe you sinned against God because, you know, that you needed to have done something, even with your family. You didn't do it. And listen, all these things has consequences. They all do. And there is none of us perfect, and we're all going to have to understand that the going-throughs are the going-throughs. But let me tell you, as David said, Lord God, you may punish me, but you won't kill me, for your mercies endureth forevermore. And that's exactly what you and I have to keep in front of us. No matter what, we got to keep that in front of us, realizing that this God that we serve, he is what? He is a powerful God. He is a glorious God. And by the way, let me tell you something. He does know the end from the beginning. He knows what it's going to take for you and I to get through whatever it is that we're going through. But you know, again, the scriptures, and you know, I go over this so much, I'm sure that most of you can just repeat this verbatim here this afternoon, but I'm going to tell you something, to know what's in our heart. And again, if you and I can't handle what we're going through today, see, he's preparing us for the tomorrows. He knows what it's going to take for you and I to get through next year at this time. He knows. And in order for us to get there, he's trying to do us a favor, and we can't even seem to see that. He's trying to do us a favor. He's preparing us. He's getting us to the place where we understand that bless God, that we how's your faith going to grow, bless God, if nothing ever goes wrong? You have to apply faith, all right? You have to learn to apply your faith. I did a message, and maybe I can do it here one of these days, is learning how to turn loose your faith. People definitely need to know how to turn their faith loose, because the Lord God is what? Well, you know, when you really stand back and can look at this through eyes that aren't your own, okay, of realizing that you're not in this boat all by yourself. We're all in this thing together. It takes certain things in certain lives to bring them forth. It takes certain things in my life to bring me forth, and so on and so forth. And that's the way it works. God's got this plan. And the sooner that you and I understand that we are not ready. See, when you join the army, they begin to do what? They begin to train you, don't they? They begin to train you. They begin to get you physically in shape. They begin to teach you the weaponry. They teach you how to use the weaponry. And then they teach you about your enemies. All right? And so that process is still the same process even into the world that we live with the Lord God, that we are in a time that God is training us. Now, not everybody, bless God, is going to have to go through, as I said before, the same thing. So now that's important for you to know, but have compassion. You know, so often, and I can remember being in the Pentecostal church, every time somebody was going through something, you could hear the people judging all of the sin. Well, they must be sin in the camp somewhere. Now, that should ring some real big bells for some of you folks that have been in the Pentecostal movement. Well, there must be sin in their camp somewhere, or that wouldn't be going on. How dare them judge? How dare them sow the discord? Amen? But yet at the same time, that seems to be it. And all along, God is trying to do something special in your life. Now, I'm going to say that again because I know that's contrary to what most of us think. But God is trying to do something special in your life. He's trying to bring out, bless God, like purified gold. The draughts of gold aren't pure. And he's trying to get that all out of the way so when it's all said and done, you've been purified by fire. Bless God, you're what? Well, you're pure. You're walking upright before the Lord God in holiness and righteousness. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That just doesn't happen because you volunteer. Boy, if it did, we could all get in. Amen? How many of us have tried to get in that way? Well, there's only one way to come in. And again, the Lord said, you know, the way is not narrow. I mean wide. I'm sorry. The way is narrow. And oh, how narrow that way is. Few thereby will ever find it. That's the Word of God. Don't get yourself caught up into this thing that, you know, I can be out here doing my own thing and just me and the Lord out in the woods. And there's nothing wrong with you going out in the woods and being alone with the Lord. But it takes more than that. It takes you being trained. And that's really what a lot of that thing was with these apostles. My goodness gracious, you talking about the way that they had to be trained. Boy, that wasn't a lot of fun, was it? Now, I know that Paul, you know, he had men under him. Peter had men under him. The apostles had men under them. But the thing of it is, to understand, these were great men of God. These were men that did great exploits in the sight of the people. And my cry was, where are these exploits at toward God? Why were they gone? When did they leave the church, and why did they leave the church? No one could answer, because no one knew. It's just, if it be thy will, Lord, if it be thy will, Lord, I'll be healed of this disease. No, that's not at all. By his stripes, you were healed. And there's a big difference in all that. But there again, you know, wrong thinking, wrong believing. You get taught correctly, you'll think correctly. And that's the key to all this. But now, the strength in this today, you've got to be quick to do what God tells you to do. You've got to be fearless in the way that you're going to stand with the Lord God. That there is nothing, just like with Job, there's nothing that could shake him away from the Lord God, Yahweh. There was nothing that could shake that man away from him. And oh my, if you haven't read Job lately, sit down and read that. And all that, I mean, my goodness gracious, what he went through. And yet, in the end, he stood and he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, let's just believe God that we're not going to have all that kind of bad news ever come to any of us in any one point given time. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what comes, God will give you a way to escape. You know, faint not in well-doing is what the Scripture says. You know, there again, God's not going to put more on you than you can handle. And that's one of the things that each and every one of us needs to continually remember, that that wouldn't be going on in your life. What's going on in your life today wouldn't be going on there unless you could handle it, because God wouldn't let that happen. So now there is a difference between God letting these things happen to prepare us for the tomorrows and the sin of your life catching up with you. Now there's a difference in that. Maybe we can get into that and talk in more detail about that in the coming days. But the thing with God is, you just have to be strong and understand. You know, the thing I say over and over again, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to Him. We belong to Him. And it wouldn't hurt for you to repeat that just every once in a while. You know that? It wouldn't hurt for you to repeat that and to understand, no matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter. Bless God, God's God. God's God. Each person is appointed a time to live, appointed a time to die. Bless God, just understand that He's God. I'm not God, you're not God, and thank God we're not God. Amen. Bless God, but He's God, and He will make the way. He will deliver you in your time of trouble. Why? Because that's His promise to us. There is nothing that, bless God, that'll keep God from delivering you if, in fact, you don't get in the way. Okay? You have to just look up and say, Lord, I don't understand it. And how many times have I done that? Seems like a million. I'm sure it's not. But you just have to look up to heaven and say, you know, Lord God, I don't understand it, but I accept it. For whatever's in this that I'm going to get something good out of, bring it on. For I trust you, Lord, that you'll not let anything more come upon me than I can handle to give me a way thereby to escape. That's His holy word. And let me tell you something. He stands with that holy word, doesn't He? Oh, my goodness, does He ever. Well, the strength of all this is to know God. And brothers and sisters, I can't put enough emphasis on that statement in itself. To know Him, you're going to have to love Him. To love Him, you're going to have to learn to pray. You're going to have to learn to fast. You're going to have to learn to study His holy word. And you're going to have to learn to do those things. You're going to have to want Him more than you want the very breath that you breathe. And that is something that most of the church is not willing to give up, okay? But you understand something. God made you special. You need to say right now, I am special in the eyes of God, because you are special. He created you, brought you forth from the foundations of this world to give you the opportunity to walk on this earth at this time, the time of the end. That's where we're at. And bless God, oh, I'd love to have been there during the days of Elijah and Elisha and the Lord Yeshua Himself. But you see, that's not what God chose for you and I. He chose for you and I to be here at this time, at this hour, doing what it is that He's called us to do, just as He called them to do what they did during the time that they were here. I'm telling you, it's exciting. These are exciting times. Oh, they're going to be dangerous times, but they're exciting times. Why? Because God is bringing forth His people in the power of His holy anointing, in the name of His Son, Yeshua. This is the hour that we're in. You know, it's like a lot of the Messianics thinking they don't need the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, again, we'll go through that. If you're listening today and you don't have the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues, we'll get you into that. In fact, I think Donna teaches an awful lot on those things. In fact, when we traveled, she was always the one in charge of seeing to it that, or for the most part, seeing to it that people were filled with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But you see, the Holy Ghost is the power source. Yes, you got a type of the Holy Spirit when you got saved, but you didn't get the power. Okay, that comes as Yeshua sent Him back to this earth. Well, hallelujah. Well, we'll finish this up on Wednesday. Don't forget tomorrow, Donald will be on here teaching. And I want to pray. I'm very encouraged. Some of you have asked about the fact of me making a statement. It's one thing to be healed, and then it's another thing to stay healed. And I would encourage you to get this small booklet that I have. You can probably read it in 30 minutes. But God urged me to write in the beginning of the ministry, I guess, all those years ago to put this little booklet out, bless God, about healing. There are certain things you need to understand about healing. There are certain aspects of healing. Yes, you can lose a healing. You can. And you need to understand how not to lose it, okay? So that's the nucleus of God's healing power, I think is the name of that little booklet. And you need to get a hold of it and read it, because then it's going to help you keep what it is that you receive. I've watched so many years. I'd go into churches, and then maybe a year later they'd have me back, and the same people would be in the healing line that God healed them a year before with the same problems going on and worse. And then I begin to realize that, dear God in heaven, I was going to have to teach them. So I'd begin to go back into those churches and teach them how to keep what it was that God gave to them, and that's still the thing today. Well, Father, right now in the name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, Lord God, for these people that are listening, and again, I want you to place your hand on the area of your body that needs to be healed. If you need to be delivered, just believe God to deliver you from whatever that is. And Father, right now, through the power of the name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, and the stripes that he bore upon the tree, I speak, Lord, to every one of these infirmities, no matter what they are, that they be healed. And let your anointing run from the tops of their heads to the bottom of their feet. And Satan, I bind you from this right now, from these healings, in the name of Yeshua. In the name of the Lord God, so let it be, and so it is. Now just go ahead, and like I said, if you move around, as the place has been kind of tight in your body, move your body around. Move it around a little bit and get yourself. Somebody in particular has got a problem in your knee today. You need to just start to leave your hand on your knee, and just that's it. Just it's kind of catching, or at least it is here what I'm doing. Kind of a catch in your knee. Well, just move there. There you go. Now watch that go away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Shakir Taramaha. Ekundrabaki Soki Shikamaha. Ekol Randamakish Nekerava. Yeah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's listening today. You need to be and want to be delivered from lying. And I want to pray with you right now. You foul, stinking spirit of lying, you're done. It's over. I serve you notice, and I command you right now in the name of Yeshua, you foul, stinking spirit from hell that lies, come out in Yeshua's name and let them be freed. Let them be freed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be gone. Be gone and be cleansed right now. Right now through the holy name of Yeshua. Now, you go forth, and every time you get to wanting to lie, just say to yourself, nope, not going to do it. Been delivered from it. And those spirits will come back around, and when they do, tell them, nope, you're on the outside. You're not getting in. Be gone in the name of Yeshua. A few rounds of that, you'll never see them again. They won't haunt you anymore. But you've got to do something about it. It's like I said, being delivered is one thing. Staying delivered is another thing. So be delivered, stay delivered. Be healed, stay healed. In the mighty name. In the mighty name of his holy son, Yeshua.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all this material that you're hearing taught every day, every week. Folks, you want to get out there and start taking a look at that and start ordering that material, because you need to get a hold of that and start to apply that into your life so that it will change your life. You know what? You can also email your prayer requests to cradle@jewishprophet.com. We'll be praying for your prayer requests. Shalom until tomorrow. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
אשר מלך בטרם כל יציר נברא, ואת נפשה בחפצו כל. אזי מלך, אזי מלך שמו נקרא.